My name is Jason Gann.
Tonight I want us to reflect upon a subject that is very important to us as Christians. We as Christians who profess to follow Christ may be viewed as politically incorrect. But brothers and sisters, when we stand for the Bible, we are not incorrect in any way, but we are right in the sight of God. Tonight, we are going to look at the subject of stand up for God by standing against homosexuality. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Our whole duty in this life is not to please men, but rather to please God. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, in verses 13 and 14, we're told, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Thanks be unto our great God for revealing unto us what we are here to do and why we are here. I am always so very thankful that God brought us into existence. It is amazing that He chose to bring into existence a people who has the free will to choose either to obey Him or to disobey Him. He loved us enough to create man and woman with free will, knowing that there would be so many who would hate Him and who would ultimately deny His Son and crucify His Son. Our God is truly an awesome God." Now, we must acknowledge that with great power comes great responsibility. God has given unto us the ability to obey Him or to disobey Him freely. God, the Bible says, hides Himself from us so that we may have free will. Isaiah 45:15, Joshua 24:15. You see, if we were able to look up directly, and if we were able to look up and see God's essence, we, my friends, would not have free will, because we would never have the choice of disobeying Him. But rather, we would always obey Him. We would be like robots if we could look up and see His essence. Love unforced is true love. Love that is forced is not true love. God wanted us to be able to love Him from the heart of our own free will, with the ability to either choose to love Him or not to love Him. There are consequences. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says to those around Him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes into the Father but by Me." There is only one way to God, and there is only one way into heaven, and that is through obedience unto our Heavenly Father. God is not going to force any of us to obey Him, but there are consequences to disobeying Him. He has provided unto us the best way to live. We might even say the blueprint for our living. Yet so many balk at this plan, and they think that they know better how to live this life, better than even God knows. When God is the creator and maintainer of life, they simply disregard that and they think they know how to better live this life. But my friends, those who live contrary to God's Word sin. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, we are told that whoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin separates us from God. We cannot sin and still be pleasing in God's sight. We cannot sin and still go to heaven with sin unrepented of. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, we are told, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Sin, any sin, separates us from God. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15 says about heaven that there is no sin found therein. No sin at all. For that verse says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and makes a lie." You see, my friends, those who do not walk in the light as God is in the light will be cast away into eternal punishment. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. While the righteous will go into life eternal. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verses 7 through 10, we are told about that great judgment day to come. "To you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." About this life, James 4:14 says, "Life is short. It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Hebrews 9:27-28 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Hebrews 5:9 describes Jesus as having become the author of eternal salvation unto all those who obey Him. My friends, we must live a life of obedience in order to go to heaven. A life of disobedience will send us into an eternal hell. Brothers and sisters, there are consequences of living faithfully, and there are consequences of living unfaithfully. This is why that we must live to the best of our abilities in keeping with God's Word. This will result in our lives being the best that they can be here and the best that they can be in eternity. We live in a society, though, that is so against God's Word. There are so many in this society who seek to put themselves first and then try to fit God in wherever they feel convenient for Him to be. There are many who even seek to remove God from their knowledge in an attempt to hold to false ideas and in an attempt to feel no guilt when doing what their flesh wants them to do. There are so many who are blind to the truth of God's Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, we are told, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Many are blinded to the truth by Satan. If we're not serving God, though, we are serving Satan. In Luke 11:23, we are told by Jesus, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that is not with me scatters abroad." There is no possible way that we could serve God and sin at the same time. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, we are told that no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Brothers and sisters, each day that we live, we have to stand up as good soldiers of the cross and stand up for God and for His Word. Since God was good enough to create us, Since God was good enough to send His Son to die for us, since God was good enough to give us the Bible that we can live by, and since God was good enough to give us the Bible that shows us the best way to live here and the best way to live in eternity, and since God was good enough to give us our food and our clothing, our shelters, our bodies, and everything else that we have, then, my friends, we ought to serve Him with our whole hearts and never deny Him. We ought to defend our God at every turn along the way of this life. That's what we ought to do as good soldiers of Christ. One who has been this good to us ought to be served with our whole heart, with our whole strength, our whole body, and our whole mind, according to Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. If we are ashamed to stand up for God in this life, then Christ is going to deny us. In Matthew 10:32-33, we are told, "Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I also confess before My Father who art in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father in heaven." Confessing Christ is more than just making that good confession, though that's involved. Confessing Christ should continue throughout our lives. Confessing Christ is to make Christ the center of our faith and our life. Those who do this, He will honor before His Father. My friends, we must be willing too, as good soldiers, to bear persecutions. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, we are told, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." John 15:18-20 is where Jesus says, "If the world hate you, you know it hated Me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted Me, they will persecute you. If they have kept My saying, they will keep yours also." In 1 John 5:19, we're told, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in darkness." This whole world, in general, lies in darkness. In Matthew 7:13-14, we're told, "Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." The vast majority in this world, as we look about us, the vast majority are living wrongly and sadly won't go to heaven. The small minority will be saved. Considering that all of these things are so, we know that we are going to be spoken against for standing for God's Word. Recently, not too long ago, some of you may remember it, Phil Robertson, who serves as an elder in the Church of Christ in Louisiana, was suspended indefinitely from his show, some of you may have seen it, Duck Dynasty, because of an interview that he had in which he spoke against homosexuality and many other sins, in paraphrasing 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Phil was asked this question, "What in your mind is sinful?" Phil says this, "Start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman and that woman and those men," he says. Then he paraphrases Corinthians, "Don't be deceived. Neither the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself. It's not right." He goes on to say, "For the sake of the gospel, it was worth it." And then he says, "All you have to do is look at any society where there is no Jesus." He says, "I'll give you four. Nazis, no Jesus. Look at their record. The Shintos, they started this thing in Pearl Harbor. Any Jesus among them? None. Communists? None. Islamists? Zero. That's 80 years of ideologies that have popped up where no Jesus was allowed among these four groups. Just look at the record as far as murder goes among those four groups. Now, nothing that Phil said in his entire interview about homosexuality was wrong. Now, I want to be clear. I am not suggesting that everything that he does or that everything that occurs on this show is good. But I have to admit, on this point against homosexuality, Phil was right in what he said. He just stood up for the truth. And for this, he was suspended by A&E, a channel that draws, according to what I have heard, around 19 million viewers with Duck Dynasty. Why did they do this? Since they make so much money off of this show. Following calls from GLAAD called GLAAD, the A&E network placed Phil Robertson on an indefinite filming hiatus. The news report goes like this. The network says in a statement, "We are extremely disappointed to have read Phil Robertson's comments in GQ, which are based on his own personal beliefs and are not reflected in the series Duck Dynasty. His personal views in no way reflect those of A&E Networks, who have always been strong supporters and champions of the LGBT community." If you don't know what that stands for, it stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual community. It goes on to say, "The network has placed Phil under hiatus from filming indefinitely." GLAAD, which is what it's called, it's actually standing for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation organization, is an extreme group that seeks to impose terror upon anyone who does not agree with them. They try to silence all Christians. Barack Obama, our own president, expressed his approval of same-sex marriage, which is condemned in the Bible. Then a few days later, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, also expressed support for same-sex marriage. Now, while I do not condone racism, nothing that Phil said was actually racist, though he was condemned as being a racist by the NAACP. All he did was simply tell about his experiences among African Americans in Louisiana and about how that he had never seen any of them singing the blues before the civil rights laws were passed. He was not saying that no African Americans were persecuted. We know they were. All we have to do is look at history and see that. But he was saying that he personally did not see it. By supporting same-sex marriage, and by attacking people who are not racist, the NAACP, like GLAAD, has become another extreme organization that seeks to promote homosexuality and silence those who support family values. The Human Rights Campaign is another liberal group like this. The NAACP and the Human Rights Campaign wrote a joint letter to the president of A&E expressing outrage and deep concern about the recent racist, homophobic, and ill-informed remarks made by Phil Robertson, the report says. Brothers and sisters, when we stand up for what's right, we are going to be persecuted. It's great to know that so many, though, stood up for Phil's right to speak against homosexuality, which, by the way, he did in his own house, on his own time, and not even on the show. If a channel like A&E could get away with suspending someone for standing up for the Bible, I want to ask you a question. How long will it be until our places of secular employment will suspend people for standing against homosexuality and other sins? If they could get away with it, how long will it be until other places try to get away with it too? Now, despite the First Amendment giving us freedom of religion, many are trying to take these rights away from us, and they are trying to silence us. They will not silence me, though, and I hope they will not silence you. I wrote a letter to A&E by email that said this, "Dear A&E, I am very displeased to see that Phil Robertson was suspended for holding to the Bible. This is not fair and not right. I cannot possibly watch A&E as long as he remains suspended for speaking the Bible. The Bible cannot change. It is eternal. The actions of A&E are highly offensive to me and all Christians who hold to the words of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 10 says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." This means, I went on to say in my letter, that homosexuals are living in sin. Please reconsider your decision to suspend Phil Robertson. Do not discriminate against those who hold to the Bible as you have done with your suspension of him. In love, Jason Gann. Brothers and sisters, we must do these things. We must use every available means to speak against those who are trying to terrorize the lives of all who speak against homosexuality, which is, by the way, a vile sin against God and man. In fact, many others did just as I did and wrote a letter to A&E and voiced their discontent. There were petitions circulating to boycott A&E, and I remember one petition had over 100,000 signatures. And you know what? At that time, Cracker Barrel started pulling the Duck Dynasty items and trying to tuck them away out of the view of those who were coming there. But people were upset about that too. So what did Cracker Barrel do? They relented. They said, "We made a mistake." And they started putting those Duck Dynasty items back out there. And you know what else? If you followed that story, you know that A&E eventually relented as well and they lifted the suspension. But they never apologized. They never said they made a mistake. Much of our society is dominated by the many liberal and vile people in Hollywood who control much of television, radio, and the internet. They want us to live as the people of Romans chapter 1 lived. They want to live their lives without God telling them what to do. They do not even want us to tell them what God says that they must do. They have tried to remove God from their knowledge. Take a look with me over at Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verse 16 and go downward from there. Romans 1, 16 through 32 speaks of a society such as ours has become. When the Roman Empire ruled the world, and by the way, the Roman Empire fell, as all countries do when they promote homosexuality and other types of fornication, and when they kill innocents. In Romans 1, verses 16 through 32, we are told, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is, notice, against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, my friends, we see from these verses that men and women try to remove God from their knowledge. Why would anybody want to do that? So that they do not feel guilty when they do wrong. This is what has happened in this country. Those who control many of the television channels and the movie industry in Hollywood promote homosexuality and other such sins because they have attempted to remove God from their knowledge. They do not want to be told what to do, not even by God. They want to commit sins and feel good about committing those sins. It is as John 3:20 says, "For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed." They, my friends, are influencing this nation through the radio, the internet, the television, and movie theaters. They are influencing this nation through those avenues to think that the sin of homosexuality and fornication is okay. They do this. How? By showing homosexual characters on television and by acting like they are okay living that way. It wasn't long until Good Luck Charlie, some of you may be familiar with that show, especially if you have young children, on the Disney Channel, had two women who were professing to be lesbians. On your Disney Channel, on a child show, this was shown. My friends, they do this. They try to make our country think homosexuality and fornication is okay by showing homosexual characters. They try to make people think fornication is okay by showing men and women who are not married to each other sharing the same house and the same bed. They try to desensitize us. This is what they are doing. They're trying to make us think sin is okay. 1 Timothy 4:2 teaches us that it is possible for us to have our consciences seared with a hot iron. When this happens, we are unable to know right from wrong. They are trying to morph us into being like this. They tell us not to judge what the Bible tells us to judge. In fact, we are told in the Bible to judge righteous judgment. In John 7:24, we are told, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." When we declare judgment against sin, we are really just expressing the judgment that God has already made as the supreme judge of the world. Brothers and sisters, I love those who are involved in homosexuality, fornication, and other sins, and this is why I speak against those sins. To get them to hopefully see the errors of their ways and to change before it's everlasting too late. I would rather speak against them now and they persecute me than me not speak against their sins and allow them to go into hell without them ever hearing anything against those sins. Now, if I or you refuse to speak against these sins, then we're not declaring the whole counsel of God, which we are told to do. 1 Corinthians 11:1 and Acts 20:27. And Ezekiel 33:7-9, in fact, we are told there, "So thou, O son of man, I have set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will be on your hands. His blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. I don't know about you, but I believe you feel the same way I do. When the judgment day comes, I don't want to have blood on my hands. So if I'm going to avoid having blood on my hands, I'm going to have to speak against sin just as Jesus did. These verses teach us that if we fail to speak against sin, we are going to be held guilty. We all, every one of us, must stand up for God and stand against sin. We have to be different from this vile world. In speaking against sin, we are not homophobic. You ever heard of that word before? They say those who speak against homosexuality are homophobic. I have to tell you though, I know of no Christian that is afraid of a homosexual. I'm sure not afraid of them. I don't think you're afraid of them. I don't care what position they hold, I stand against them with all of my being. I not only stand against this sin, but all sin. Sin, you see, will keep us out of heaven. Therefore, we are called by the gospel of Jesus Christ to be holy and set apart from sin. Titus 2:14 says that Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Psalm 97:10 says, "You that love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." We ought to view the sins that Phil Robertson spoke about when he paraphrased 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11 as repulsive. We ought to view those as truly repulsive in the sight of God. Somebody says, why would you have that kind of feeling toward those sins? Well, you have that kind of feeling toward those sins because God views sin as enough to make Him vomit. In 2 Peter 2:20 through 22, going into sin, going back into sin is described as a dog eating its own vomit. These verses say, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Brethren, we cannot grow weary in well-doing." We must stand up against the sins of homosexuality and fornication with no fear of what man can do unto us. And I want to suggest unto you as well that you don't call them gay. Why? Because that means happy. That's what they want to be called. Don't call them gay. Call them homosexuals. That's what they are. While much of this world is going to go to hell, we are obligated to help save as many as we can by teaching them the Word of God, which is able to save our souls, James 1:21. We must say, as Peter said on the first day that the church was established, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation," Acts 2:40. In 1 Timothy 4:15, we are told to take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save yourself and those that hear you. Brothers and sisters, let us be for certain homosexuality and fornication both are condemned throughout the Bible as wrong. In Jude 7, homosexuality is described as going after strange flesh, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, the verse says, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Why is it called strange? When a husband and a wife come together in the sexual act, it's like two pieces of the puzzle fitting together to become one. A man and a man do not fit. A woman and a woman just do not fit. Nature itself teaches us that if all were homosexuals, then there would be no more people on this planet in just a few years. The human race would become extinct. This is one of the greatest arguments from nature against the sin of homosexuality. If you remember from Genesis 19, the men of Sodom, from the youngest to the oldest, were homosexuals who tried to even rape the two angels who came there to deliver Lot and his family. We all know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed with brimstone and fire. What's going to happen to this country if we don't stand up for what's right? Deuteronomy 23:17 says, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." Leviticus 20:13 says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Now looking at the verses that Phil Robertson paraphrased that I read unto you earlier, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." A person is not born a homosexual. God has commanded that no one be homosexuals. He will punish those who disobey this. Our God is fair. He would not punish someone for doing something that He created them to do. This is why we know that no one's born a homosexual. As men choose who they will like, and as women choose who they will like, some men choose wrongly to like men, and some women choose wrongly to like women. The word for effeminate in this chapter 6 here of 1 Corinthians means a male who submits his body to unnecessary lewdness, a catamite, which is the passive partner in a homosexual relationship. From the word malakos in the Greek, an effeminate person is one who tries to act like a woman in a homosexual relationship. The word for abusers of themselves with mankind means one who lies with a woman, or with a man as with a woman, a sodomite, in other words. 1 Timothy 1, 9-11 says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers." Now notice, "for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing which is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which has been committed to my trust." This word for abusers of themselves with mankind is the same word as the word for them that defile themselves with mankind in the Greek language. So this is called contrary to sound doctrine. There's no doubt about it then. No doubt about it that homosexuals cannot go to heaven unless they change, and they can change. Because Paul said some of them were homosexuals, but they had changed. Some at Corinth had been involved in this sin. They changed. They repented. My friends, according to the statistics I was able to gather and look at, currently 19 states in our United States allow same-sex marriage. 3 allow civil unions, which is basically the same as same-sex marriage, but called by another name. This means, now if we're keeping account here, this means that there are over 25 states that do not allow same-sex marriage. In the 19 states that allow same-sex marriage, get this is not what you're going to hear on the news stations. Only 3 of those have actually let the people vote on it. Only 3. Washington, Maine, and Maryland. In 8 of those states, state legislatures voted for it, with those being Vermont and New York, Rhode Island, Delaware, Minnesota, Hawaii, Illinois, of the ones I was able to gather. Now, in many of the states that allow same-sex marriage, you know how it came in? Not because the people voted on it, but because evil judges brought it in. Massachusetts, California, Connecticut, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Pennsylvania. When the media reports about this, though, they rarely ever mention that 28 states are totally against same-sex marriage. Do you hear that often? They also rarely mention that only 3 states have actually let the people vote on this issue. They try to act like everyone in those states are for same-sex marriage. But just because judges or state legislatures are for something does not mean that all of the people in those states are for it. And it does not mean that a majority of the people in those states are necessarily for it. In fact, did you know that California voters voted to ban same-sex marriage? Yes, California voted to ban same-sex marriage, but judges overturned the will of the people. Hawaii voters allowed their legislature to ban it. The state legislature banned it, and then they overturned the ban. Utah banned it, but judges have sought to overturn that ban. But the media often fails to mention that since 1998, at or around 28 states have banned same-sex marriage in their state constitutions, or by state law in some form. And when we look at those states, we find states such as Alaska and Nevada, Montana. We find states such as Kansas and South Dakota, and such as Louisiana, and such as Arkansas and Georgia and Kentucky and Mississippi, Texas and Alabama, South Carolina, and our state of Tennessee, Virginia, Florida, North Carolina, just to name some of them. But when you hear it on the TV, what do they try to act like? The country's moving toward having this. The people want same-sex marriage. That's not what the statistics really show. The statistics show when you let the people decide, they're going to back a state constitutional ban in most states. Now, how long will it be until judges try to overturn our state ban on it? That's why we've got to vote carefully and cautiously and stand up against sin. We all know that Iraq's evil dictator, Saddam Hussein, was a murderer. You know, I had hoped that the U.S. could help this country, and I think the democracy being brought there may have helped some. However, what has not helped is this. Did you know that since 2003, Iraq has legalized homosexuality? That's since we went there. That's since we sent soldiers over there dying. And since that time, they've legalized homosexuality. Did you know that there are several countries that make it illegal to practice homosexuality? Those countries include Iran and Afghanistan, which allow the death penalty for it. Pakistan. Russia has also been highly criticized. Why? Because it bans same-sex marriage. Well, you know what? The Russian president is doing better than the American president on that issue, because at least he does oppose same-sex marriage. There are over 80 countries with laws against homosexuality. Many of these countries will give homosexual citizens years in jail to life, in jail to even corporal punishment. If our country continues to allow homosexuality, mark my words, it won't be long until they work for polygamy to be allowed, where people will have more than one wife or more than one husband. It won't be long until bestiality will be allowed. Jesus defined what is permissible in marriage in Matthew 19, 8 through 9. He says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her, which is put away, does commit adultery. Jesus here condemns any type of the sexual acts that is not confined within a marriage ordained by God. And he defines marriage as between one man and one woman. Here in verses 4 through 6, he says, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. And what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. By defining marriage as between one man and one woman, he spoke against same-sex marriage. He spoke against polygamous marriage. He spoke against bestiality and all other types of wrongful marriages. He also spoke against a person marrying a group of people, and a group of people marrying a group of people. When marriage, my friends, is not defined as the Bible says, then the standard for marriage is gone. It's gone upon which the laws of the land can be based. And there will be people argue for all kinds of marriages if we allow same-sex marriage, which we can't allow because God doesn't allow it. When Jesus defined marriage as between one man and one woman, He never gave any authorization for any other kind of marriage, nor did He define it in any other way. Brothers and sisters, we know that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. And we must uphold the truth. We must earnestly contend for the faith and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:16. We must do as Ephesians 5:11 says, and that is, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We must stand firmly rooted and grounded upon the Word of God. Let us declare the gospel as we've been taught to do in Matthew 28. Let us stand upon the Word of God with no fear of what man might do to us. They call us. They call us things. Why should we care if a homosexual or those who support them call us names? Why should we care what they say? They call us anti-gay and homophobic, but I say that they are anti-God and anti-Christ. They are also anti-marriage. Homosexuality is sin. It always has been and it always will be. And let's stand up and let's speak up wherever we find ourselves for this great Word of God. If tonight you're not yet a Christian, I want to encourage you to become one. You have the invitation extended to you to hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Mark 16:16. To repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. To confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. Upon your baptism, you'll be a Christian. Live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2:2. And if you are a Christian and you've gone astray, you can come back tonight through repentance, Acts 8:22, and confession of your sins, 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you, and God will forgive you. And remember, God loves you, and I do too.